Hi, Nasa Kumarji, this is Doug. I've made it through.
Hi, Doug. Doug.
I was actually speaking. I think you didn't know it was me, actually.
Okay. So, Doug, can I speak to you now?
Yes, please.
Hello. Yeah, Doug, so can I hand out the thing to Bhagwan?
Yes, so, please, Dasaji.
Yes, you can just tell the whole brief of how, what all you told me. Each day, how many Diksha givers were made in the last few days. And ask the questions for them. And then you can ask the question and the second question. At the end, Doug. Hello.
Yes, Dasaji, I hear you.
Hello. Yeah. At the end, you need to tell them to make 3 minutes meditation. The Lord will be passing.
Okay.
Along with Bhagwan, they can meditate for 3 minutes. At the end, you can release all the calls so that they can greet Bhagwan.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Shall we start then?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just talking on Bhagwan now.
Namaste, Bhagwan. Namaste, Bhagwan.
Namaste.
Namaste, Bhagwan.
Namaste, Bhagwan.
So, Bhagwan, as of last month, there is almost 600 new blessing givers throughout North America and Canada. The oneness trainers have been doing a phenomenal amount of work creating new blessing givers, Bhagwan. And I would, on the request of themselves, I would like to read to you the different states in America and Canada and the new blessing givers that have all come out of these states.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
So, Bhagwan, in Arizona, we have 57 new blessing givers. In Canada, we have 36. In California, we have 94. In Colorado, we have 3. In Washington, D.C., we have 26. In Florida, we have 57. In Idaho, we have 47. In Massachusetts, we have 20. In Montana, we have 3. In North Carolina, we have 34. In Ohio, we have 20. In Nevada, we have 1. In Oregon, we have 6. In Texas, we have 32. In Vermont, we have 7. And in Washington, we have 21. So, Bhagwan, if you could give blessings to all these new blessing givers, and a lot of them are going to be on the line tonight. They're already hearing you speak at this point.
I see. Yeah, I'll give them all a strong blessing.
Okay. Thank you, Bhagwan. So, Bhagwan, we have 2 questions. The second question is going to be a long... long type of question. So I'll begin with the first question, Bhagwan. The first question that is being asked, Bhagwan, is could you please offer more clarity on the shift that will occur in 2012 and how our work with the oneness blessing is helping make that shift? What will take place? What will our experiences be, and how will the rapid changes in our movement help facilitate that?
Oh, yes. So, in 2012, there's first going to be an energy shifter, and we call this pranic energy. And in fact, the temple has been built here or the World Wellness Center to affect these planetary energies. In fact, in ancient times, the pyramids were built across the world to affect these planetary energies. So also objects like Stonehenge and other objects, ancient objects, were specifically meant for altering planetary energies. But similarly, the World Wellness Center, or what's called sometimes Oneness Temple, has also been created to affect these planetary energies. So the first shift would be in planetary energies. Following that would be a rising of the levels of consciousness. People's consciousness would reach to higher levels. This would mean actually what we call the Kundalini, rising up in the human body, which would mean you are rising to higher levels of consciousness. That would result in a change of perception. And these changes essentially would surround the fact that you start losing the sense of separation. For some people, it could be merely feeling connected. For other people, it could be like you actually feel that you are the other. There could be varying degrees of change with regard to the sense of separation. For some, it could be mild. What I call mild is to feel connected. For some, it could be that great that you would feel that you are no different from the other. So it could go to that extent. Sometimes it could be so deep that when somebody is physically affected, even physical pain could also affect you physically. It can go to that extent. Besides this, there will also be people who will be experiencing higher states of consciousness, like some could experience Christ consciousness, or Buddha consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, or any other kind of consciousness they have been seeking, or they have been a condition from early childhood. So there could be a change of consciousness. There are also others who discover oneness with probably the physical earth also. They will feel very, very close to the earth. So there will be a variety of changes. That's why we are not telling sameness. We are saying it's oneness. That is, people would be having different experiences. That I often said that if there are 6 billion or 7 billion people on the planet, it could be that many experiences and that many states of consciousness. But what is going to be strange is, despite the difference in the experience and the state, all would feel one. That's what is going to be strange happening. Because you would expect people to differ, to disagree, to quarrel or to fight. But that would not happen. A Christian getting his experience or a Muslim getting his experience would strangely become very, very close. So we will be moving in that direction. And I would say that the experience of each one would be unique. Maybe two people may not get the same experience. Each would be having his own unique experience, because the field of awakening, the nature or God or whatever you want to call, does not duplicate. So each one is special and each one is unique. So that's what is going to happen. But the common denominator is going to be, we are going to work as though we are one being. That's what is likely to happen. And this would have its own consequences in the external world. Now, when I talk of oneness age, I'm talking about what's going to happen in the inner world. When I talk of the golden age, I'm talking about what's going to happen in the external world. These inner changes would happen first, and they would lead to certain external changes. That people would be sharing whatever they got with each other. They'd be more careful about the environment. They'll be more kind and protective of the animals. So all this will be happening in the external world as a consequence of the changes that have happened in the inner world. So, we can expect these things to happen probably sometime towards the end of 2011. And we'll probably get a few samples in the probably October, November, December of 2011. And it will go full speed from January 2012. And by December 2012, we'll be able to see a lot for ourselves. So this, in short, would be the changes that would be happening. And along with that, we could also expect environmental changes. As human consciousness changes, we might be able to solve some of the environmental issues too. So on the one hand, we have to move on the physical front. Yet this inner change also could bring about environmental changes. And besides that, our thought structures also start melting down. These thought structures which we have built up over thousands of years, they would sort of be melting down. In other words, you would not be troubled so much by thought or by other negative thoughts or emotions. V2 would start slowly decreasing. So these are some of the changes that would be happening in the year 2012. And one should not think it's all over 2012. It keeps growing, and there's no end to that growth. So it will be evolving more and more and more, but that's not so important for us. What's important is that we bring about this change in 2012. Now, we cannot take it for granted. We have got to work for it. The energies are there, but we have to make use of those energies to bring about the shift. If we just sit idle thinking, okay, the energies have changed, now there's no problem, there's nothing more for me to do, but nothing is going to happen then. We have got to make use of that. So this is where the blessing givers come in. So what we need urgently is we need a lot more trainers, a huge number of more trainers, and we have to produce huge numbers of blessing givers. Now the blessing givers' main role, besides helping others, is to raise their levels of consciousness. Because blessing givers have to give blessings to each other in the year 2012. They have to form groups. I would suggest a minimum group of 25 people, and it would be ideal to have 50 or even 100. And in some cases, we can go up to 300 too, if it's a very cooperative kind of group, then the numbers could even be more. Now, what they have to do in the year 2012 is, as I told you earlier, you have to form some kind of mandala formations, and we will teach you how to give blessings to each other. Here's a situation where a blessing giver gives a blessing to another blessing giver. So it is going on between them. And these groups will be given to one another, the way we will be teaching you. When you do that, something very strange is going to happen. Now, this is not something we are speculating or we are going to try out. We have tried out all these things, and it works very beautifully. Everything is ready. So not only that, even 2012, is not some figment of our imagination or something we are hallucinating about. We have some special groups in India. Probably when you come to India, we can take you and we can show you what's happening. Actually, people are moving into 2012. It's happening right now. And we find that it happens between 6 hours and 3 days. It's that fast. And we hope that you could watch it and learn some things from that, which if possible you could use back home. And here, we actually notice that the actual point of transition or the moment of transition is less than 3 minutes. There was this ancient teacher called Padmasambhava, whom I often refer to, who took Buddhism from India into ancient Tibet. And he had made a remark that when the iron birds fly in the air, man would make it less than 3 minutes. The iron birds have been flying around for quite some time. And we think possibly the time has come, because we are actually seeing this happen. So that is what gives us all that confidence. But then the question is, doing for a small group is one thing, and doing for the entire planet is something totally different. And this requires large numbers of blessing givers, especially now, since we have lost very valuable time. Now, while oneness is a phenomenon, we also believe that 2012 itself is a phenomenon, where a lot of people are working for 2012. It's not just our phenomenon, there's a lot of other phenomena also going on. But the sad thing is, and many of them have died already. They died a year after inception, some after 2 years, 3 years, some after 10 years. Because as these things happen, the opposite also is produced. Like you have the front, you have the back, you have the top, you have the bottom. So whenever we move in one direction, like matter and antimatter, the moment you try to bring about order, disorder too is simultaneously created. And if disorder is not much, then of course we can have order finally emerging in a big way. But if the disorder crosses a point, then it could become very dangerous, and in fact the whole thing could revert back to disorder. Now, we have a situation here, most of you know the recent crisis in the moment, so there is a certain amount of disorder, and if this disorder continues to grow, basically its function would be to destroy faith. Faith in 2012, faith in the divine, and faith in the blessing. Now, if that happens, we could still lose out. The possibility is there. As I have seen many such movements lose out in the last 20 years or so. So that's why the only way is order should grow faster than disorder, which means more trainers and more blessing givers. In fact, I have been wanting this to happen all these years, but it could not happen. but now I see it is beginning to happen. So this could be our last chance. So I'm so happy to hear these figures of how the blessing givers have grown in number in the last few weeks. So if we continue this way, I think we'll have enough numbers. For example, America is a big country and they need huge numbers of trainers, vast numbers of blessing givers. So if we can act, I think if we keep up this pace, I think we should be ready by 2012. So the crucial role is going to be played by the blessing givers. And of course the trainers have got to produce them. And that blessing is nothing but the divine working through you. Unless there's divine intervention, we cannot get there. It's next to impossible because this involves a lot of transformation in the brain, which only the divine could bring about. So, unless you open ourselves up to the divine, so 2010 and 2011, we'll be speaking more to you and we'll be guiding you more in order to open up more connections or a deeper contact with the divine, because it's the divine which through the blessing is going to bring about the changes in all the blessing givers, which in turn is going to bring about change in human consciousness. So it's actually the work of the divine. We are just helping out, that's all. We are probably some kind of a catalyst. It's between divine, between the divine and man. So it's the divine which has brought about these energies in the first place, the shifting energies. And now the divine has to make use of these energies to bring about this change. We have just got to help out. So that is, in brief, the answer for the first question. So now, Doug, what's the next question?
Thank you, Bhagwan. The next question is actually not a question, Bhagwan. Many of the blessing givers have been asking that they would actually like you to give them what you feel is best as a teaching for this month, where you feel you could just simply expound on the teachings and give them information and things to deepen their state and to help them grow in whatever way. So please, Bhagwan, if you could share with us your teachings.
Yes. I have been speaking in Mexico yesterday, and today I spoke, I think, to Sweden and to Italy. And what I noticed was there seems to be a misunderstanding about the teachings. They have gone through level 1 and level 2. And from the way they are asking the questions, I could clearly see there is a misunderstanding with regard to the teachings. Now, the oneness teaching is actually a very, very simple teaching. And what you got to understand is, if it sounds complexer, then there is some misunderstanding about the teaching. And then if you understand that you have to put in some effort, then again, you have misunderstood the teaching. So, by saying no effort, we do not mean indifference at all. We should not be mistaken for indifference. So let us see, what is it that they are saying? Basically, we can put the entire oneness teaching into one word, that is awareness. Now, very often we are getting questions like saying, look, I know I have ugliness, I have jealousy, I have no love, I have anger, I have violence, and I'm trying to experience a suffering, and now it's not happening, and when is it I'm going to change, and I find that I'm helpless. So we get these kind of questions. Now, what's most important to understand in oneness is the content of your mind is not at all important. It could be anything. It could be violence, non-violence, anger, hatred, jealousy, frustration, fear, whatnot. Name all that whole range of thoughts, feelings, and emotions. We are just not concerned about them because we are not trying to change at all. There is no effort to change because you cannot change. You cannot change because these are the properties of the human mind, which is very ancient, and there is only one mind. Then what is it we are trying to do? What is this change we are talking about? On the one hand we say no change, and on the other hand we still do seem to talk about some kind of a change. All that we are talking is, please become intensely aware of what is going on. That's all. There's nothing else you could do. There's nothing else you should do. That's why we are talking about it as effortless effort. The only effort is slightly becoming aware of what's going on, and then saying, okay, let me become aware. That's all. And then as you try to become aware, you would realize that it's next to impossible. It's that difficult to start with. That is when you throw in the towel and say, oh my God, it is not possible. That's the time we say, you better surrender. This surrender is not some kind of slavish surrender. It's just the realization that you cannot do anything and nothing is happening. It's then that you invoke the divine through a blessing. And then the blessing will take you where you should go. And where do you go? You go nowhere, because there's nowhere to go in the first place. You only become more and more aware of what is going on. And the teaching says, the first step is the last step. This does not mean that after you have taken the first step, you're going to go somewhere. You are not going to go anywhere at all, for the simple reason there is nowhere to go. So what's the first step? The first step is awareness. What's the last step? Awareness. So what is there? There's only awareness. And where are you going to go? To awareness. So awareness is the be-all and end-all of all things. Please do not understand that awareness is going to come, take you anywhere. Do not understand that awareness will free you from jealousy. No. That awareness is going to free you from anger. That awareness is going to make you sink. No, not at all. Awareness would only be giving you freedom with jealousy, freedom with anger, freedom with hatred. You would stop tampering with them. You would stop trying to change them. What is there is awareness in the beginning. What is in the middle is awareness. What is in the end is awareness. When you are aware, you are fully awake. When you are fully awake, you are living and no more existing. Right now, you are in a state of daydreaming. All the while, you are caught up in this conflict the thought is producing. You are somewhere and you want to get somewhere. That is the moment of thought. You are engaged in this and you are caught up in that. That's why you do not live but to merely exist. Now this is the situation which is going to change in the year 2012. But even before that, it could start happening to a lot of people. If you correctly understand the teachings. So I repeat, you are not going anywhere. You are not going to change anything because nothing could be changed. All that we are expecting from you is, please become intensely aware of what is going on. It's a beautiful movie which you could enjoy. There's no better movie than that. And no better book to read than that. Your life is the best book. But you cannot read it as long as there's no awareness. So to be aware is all that there is. And to be aware is to have the presence in you. As your awareness deepens, the presence deepens. And there comes a point when you're so intensely aware, the presence is almost completely there. And the presence is what we call God. At that point, you become God. You and the presence are totally one. You, awareness, presence have all become one. That's when you see for yourself that you are God. We are trying to get there. So, I hope that from this moment onwards, you will just see what's going on. Don't try to do anything to it. There's nothing you could do to it. It's just that. That is the truth. That is inner integrity. That is being authentic. But then, not be indifferent to it, please, but be intensely aware of it. That's all you've got to do. That is the oneness teaching, the most fundamental teaching. Other teachings are merely supportive of it, like saying the first step is the last step, experience it. Not that you try to experience, then it is no experiencing at all. When you are aware, experience is automatically taking place. You experience reality as it is. So they are merely trying to describe, but then you're trying to put in an effort, okay, I must now experience suffering. All right, I must experience reality as it is. All right, I must be a better human being. There's no such thing as a better human being or a lower human being. And out of this awareness, action arises spontaneously. That is what we call action. Anything else you might call action, but it's merely activity. So this action, well, somebody may call it, who's not awakened, good action. Some may call it bad action. Some may call it right action or wrong action. But to the awakened, it's just action. And for him, it is perfect action. whatever society would call that, or whatever your friends would call that, but for him, it is perfect action that arises from complete awareness. I would like you to start contemplating on what I've just now spoken for the following month, and let us see what your experiences are. From that, I will start proceeding further. This interaction of mine with you is what we call level 3, where I give you more clarification with regard to the teachings, or give you some deeper insights, or if I were to give you a blessing, or meditate with you, or take on your questions. All this comes under level 3. And level 3 you could attend if you have come to level 2, or if you have come from level 1, or merely you've done a onus experience course, or even if you're a completely new person, if you are invited, you are most welcome to come here. Maybe you also upwards go back to level 2, level 1, and oneness experience to get a better understanding. But all are welcome for this. So, that is the answer. Not exactly the answer, but that's the message I would like to communicate to you this time after having heard some questions in Mexico, Sweden, and Italy. I thought it's very important I communicate this to you. So, thank you. Yes, Bhagwan?
Thank you. Thank you, Bhagwan. Bhagavan, if you would like to, we could proceed to the meditation.
Yes, yes, yes. We will now proceed to meditation now. And I'll give the blessing to all the blessing givers and to everybody else.
release the phone lines?
Yes, Sheldon. Would you mind releasing the phone lines? Everyone would like to say thank you to Bob Wong. Try to do it again next month. Take care.